And I thank you for being here this morning that we can share together in this time. If you will, we're going to be moving to the book of Acts. We haven't been in the book of Acts for a while. I'm going to ask that you turn with me to Acts chapter 1 this morning. And I'm going to ask that you stand with me in honor of God's word. Acts chapter 1, we'll begin reading in verse number 4. Acts chapter 1, beginning in verse number 4. And being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which, he said, you have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. Now when he had spoken these things while they watched, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they stood looking steadfastly toward heaven, as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, who also said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand gazing up into the heaven? This same Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will so come in like manner as you saw him go into heaven. Father, we thank you so much for this day. Lord, we thank you for your guidance and for your instruction. We thank you for the presence of the Holy Spirit, the helper to guide and to teach, to lead us in all truth. Father, we thank you for the peace that we have with the Father through you. And we thank you for this time to celebrate. Strengthen us, I pray, in your words. We ask it to your glory alone, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Be seated, please. Now, the book of Acts, we know, is an account of all of the things that began to happen among believers after Jesus had ascended into heaven. And it's really quite remarkable, all of the things that we see. Now, if you wanted to break down the book of Acts, the first 12 chapters really give us a more focused view of things Peter is doing. But then 13 through the end of the book of Acts, we get more of a focused picture on what Paul is doing. And in all of that, though, we see how the church is beginning to grow. And the struggles even that they had in the growth of that early church. And you know, it's quite remarkable because humanly speaking, the church should not have survived. That early church should have not survived if you really began to think about it. Because I want you to consider these things. When Jesus left, when the founder of the church went back to heaven, he left behind no proven leaders. They didn't have anybody who had proven leadership skill to guide the people in the way that Christ had led them. They had very little money. No funding. They had no technological tools. They probably are thankful for that, by the way. They were subjected to intense hatred and persecution. And yet, despite all of these things, the church grew, and it grew exponentially. And so ask yourselves, why? How did this happen? It happened because God appointed it to be so. And it happened because the people that were called into His service weren't working of their own accord, but working in the power of the Holy Spirit, the promise that God had given them that they would have. The power of the Holy Spirit. And it's funny, when all of these things began to happen and the apostles were there and they watched Jesus ascend, They stood there and watched after he was out of sight. Isn't it amazing how things can capture us? And in a moment, we just stand there really more dumbfounded than anything else. And I can imagine a lot of the questions in their heads were something like this. Well, what do we do now? How are we going to go from here? Which direction do we go from here? By the way, have you ever been that way in life? You had a moment in life where you stopped and you looked around and you're like, well, here I am. Where do I go? What do I do? Am I going alone? Or am I going to have others with me? You know, even in the church, we still ask these questions, don't we? But if we are looking to God and working through the promise of God to be led and guided by the Holy Spirit, to operate in the strength of the Holy Spirit, and to not worry about the things of the flesh because God provides, then the church will grow. It's proven. You say, we don't have a model to look at. Well, yes, we do. And we have the instructions that were given at the very beginning. Go, you will be my witnesses into Jerusalem and Samaria, into all Judea and to all the earth. Just go. There were no instructions on how to get the financing or where to get the financing. There was no pointing to who was going to help along the way. It was just simply this. Go. Go. And share the good news of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we as a church forget that is what we are centrally to be focused on. Sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. Not worrying about how we're going to afford it or how we're going to get it there or who's going to actually take it. Just go. Go. How many of us walk in faith? Anybody here walk in faith? Amen? You walk in faith? Do you walk in trust? Amen? Faith and trust? Does it stop at the front door when you can't figure out how it's going to happen though? No. We keep taking those steps one right after another. They worked with the same tools that we work with. And if you want to break those tools down, let me break them down to you like this. It is the promise and the power and the hope that God gives us through His Holy Spirit. Through our renewal in Him and the hope of things yet to come. Those are the three biggest components of our Christian life, of our life in whole. That we walk in the promise and the power and the hope. The promise and the power and the hope. That's what they were sent out with. A promise, power, and hope. And look what it became. Look what it still is. It has its reach into all of the world, even today. But I would tell you today, it seems that the church is losing its focus. It's letting go of the promise. And by letting go of the promise, they are losing the power and changing the focus of their hope. And if we remove anything from any of that, replacing God with anything worldly or in the flesh, then we have lost our mission. We're not on the mission of God, we're on the mission of self, of our society, of our social club, of whatever it is we've become. But it's not the church. And we've got to be careful to keep the message that God has given us to take. And we have to begin by focusing on the promise. And moving first with that. So that's just what I'm going to talk to you about this morning. The promise. They had a promise that they would receive the Holy Spirit. He says, you will be baptized even with the Holy Spirit. The promise of God's helper. coming to strengthen and to guide in the things that they were to do. Go back to Jerusalem. Wait. But soon you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. How many of you know what it means to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? I mean, I know that the Holy Spirit has saved me. I can say that with confidence. You can't say it on my behalf, but I can say it. I can't say it for you on your behalf, but you can say it. But both of us can show it by our words and by our deeds. Are we walking as though we have hold of that promise that the Holy Spirit is with us and guiding us? Because when we are baptized with the Holy Spirit, we are a renewed people. We are born again. The old man is dead and the new man is alive. In John chapter 3, Jesus is teaching and he says, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And he further clarifies a little bit following that. He says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So I don't want you to be confused and think I'm telling you that being baptized is going to rejuvenate you, is going to make you born again. Jesus was clearly saying that being born of the water means that we are born into this world. The breaking of the water and the child entering into the world from the mother's womb is the reason of this term, born of water, and flesh is of flesh. Okay? So anything that we call born again in our life that is accomplished through the flesh is of naught. It means nothing before God. Now, when we get into the baptismal pool, it's important that we do that. And let me explain to you why that's important. Because even Jesus was baptized, wasn't he? Do you remember what he said when he stood before John? John said, I'm not worthy to baptize you. And Jesus said, permit it to be so to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus was about to begin his ministry in the world. He was about to show himself to people and reveal who he was to the people. And he was about to embark on that journey. And before the priest would ever go into the Holy of Holies in the Old Testament, he bathed himself before he stood in the presence of God. A type of baptism, if you will. And he presented himself before God in sackcloth. He wouldn't even go dressed up. He took off all of the priestly splendor and bathed himself, put on a sackcloth and went into the presence of God in the Holy of Holies and offered the sacrifice for forgiveness. And when he came out, he bathed again and put on his priestly clothes with all of the splendor and stood before the people and did what he was supposed to do there. But in both instances, he was working on behalf of God's glory in God's presence and before the presence of people. But he bathed before he took priestly actions. And Jesus, before he began his mission, bathed through the baptism that brought righteousness and completed the fulfillment of what righteousness needed to be in his ministry. When we baptize, we tell the world, I am saved. I am changed. I am on a mission for God, and I am here to share the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't get bathed and just get saved because we were dunked. You go down a dirty center and you have no faith when you come up, you're still a dirty center. Getting dunked doesn't do anything for you. I think we should all really know that. But to be baptized with the Holy Spirit is to be sealed and to be identified as God's people. How many people have been baptized in water and walked away from God in their life? Apostates. those who never believed anyway, those who couldn't submit to God, those who wouldn't have the humility that God calls all of us to have. Baptism by the Holy Spirit changes people. They are renewed from within. And unless one is born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You can talk about it. You can't enter it. So think about it. Satan believes in Jesus, but he'll never sit at the table when we dine with God in those end times, will he? Be careful what you teach. Be careful what you hold on to. We have to be renewed. The promise of the Holy Spirit is the sign of that renewal. When it is upon us, we are changed. Changed completely through and through. Still a fight though. That old man don't give up easy, does he? Y'all know that. How many of you experienced the old man every once in a while? Couple of us anyway. He's there. He's just waiting for you to give him a chance. Fight the good fight and be what God calls you to be, and walk in the promise and the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we're not just renewed, we become united as one. Paul writes in Corinthians, he says, "For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body." This is the baptism I'm explaining to you. This baptism of the Spirit. That brings us into the one body that is the body of Christ. We have one calling, one message, and one body when we are united in the Holy Spirit. Now I want to tell you, there's one calling unto peace with God, and that's through Jesus Christ. There's one calling unto life, and that's in Jesus Christ. There's one message, and it's Jesus Christ crucified for sinners who will believe. And there's one body, God's people, when they are baptized and brought into that body through their faith in Jesus alone. And if you cannot call upon Jesus Christ, if you cannot pronounce Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, if you cannot repent of sins, if you cannot show the world it is real, if you cannot walk in faith and in trust, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. It is one body through one faith, united in one Spirit. And this is what they were waiting on. They were sent back to Jerusalem for, to be renewed in the Spirit, to be united in the Spirit, and to be given one single purpose in the Spirit. Paul writes again in 1 Corinthians, "There are diversities of gifts and of ministries and of activities, but it is the same Spirit, the same God who works in all, and given to each one for the benefit of us all." Diversities, ministries, different kinds of activities, all of these things happening within the body of Christ. And not all of us can do the same thing, can we? Not all of us are called to be the same kind of person in the church with the same kind of ability in the church. We are all called to be the same kind of believer, the same kind of follower, the same kind of message bearer, the same kind of cross bearer. One message in Jesus Christ, and there can be no other. And it's to the benefit of us all. The benefit of us all. God calls us all together in one body so that we can be unified. And if one of us is struggling, we help each other. We should help each other. Call upon each other. Pray for each other. As we did this morning. Because we are walking in the promise of the Holy Spirit and in all that that means to us. The hope and the joy of who He is. And who it is we can share to a world that is dying. this thing I want you to see. Because there's a lot of teaching about the Holy Spirit in the New Testament. And one of the things we need to understand is that, yes, the Holy Spirit empowers us. And yes, it does many things in our lives. But the one thing we need to remember and keep hold of more than anything else is that the Holy Spirit guides us in truth. The Holy Spirit will never lead us deceptively away from the truth that God has already given us. We should walk in that truth. Jesus said in John 16, when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. All truth. Anything that we need to know concerning our spiritual life, concerning our honoring of God in this world, through the things we do and say, God teaches us and the Holy Spirit guides us to be who we should be. Now, let me ask you a question. How many of you have ever been challenged about your faith? And now, I'm going to clarify that a little further. That challenge was presented with a question of sorts you just did not know the answer to. Anybody in here ever been asked a question about the Bible they just did not know? My friends, welcome to the world of believing in God. You will never understand everything God tries to tell you in the Scripture. It is so deep and so beyond our ability. No wonder God only gave us this little bit. And we can't even handle this some of the times. But let me tell you something. If somebody asks you a question about Scripture and you don't know the answer, please, I beg of you, don't try to answer it with an answer that you can't prove, that you can't stand on as God's solid rock truth. Don't give an answer where you don't know and be proven later a liar by God. We have to be very careful with the things that we say when we talk to people about God. Do you know that if we teach false doctrines, we are a false prophet? I was sharing with someone yesterday a prime example of this. And I'm not trying to bring anybody down. I am trying to call out the notion that we can just answer everything when we can't. It's okay to say, I don't know yet. God hasn't revealed that to me. Why don't we look for that in the Scripture together? And if somebody's challenging you and they really want to know, then they'll sit down and look in the Scripture with you. Get with someone who's more adept at what Scripture says and work through that with them, the three of you together. But don't just try to answer it without knowing. When I first left the Navy and had surrendered to the call of ministry and was back in the church that I was baptized in as a child and had come to faith in Christ, and oh, what a moment that was, y'all. I remember it. That's a different trail. I'm sitting there in Sunday school, and now I'm going to be honest with you. When I was in the Navy, I didn't spend every Sunday in church. I spent a lot of Sundays at sea. And when I was at home, I didn't spend a lot of Sundays at church. And occasionally we went to church when I was in the Navy. I did spend time on the ship in little small Bible studies with people along the way. We always seemed to have those little pocket New Testament, the Book of Psalm, that we could carry around with us. And so we did. I did on occasion have little small groups, 3, 4, 5 of us. We'd sit around and read and share and talk. It wasn't a regular thing. So I was not becoming a theological stalwart when I was in the Navy. You know? I had my faith, and I walked in my faith. I trusted Jesus. I couldn't answer questions, not anything that was in depth. When I got out of the Navy and was getting back in the church, and I was in the Sunday school class one morning, there was a friend that I had who asked a question. He said, well, what happens to people that never get to hear about Jesus? That's a question Christians are scared of. absolutely afraid of? What happens to people who never have the opportunity to hear about Jesus Christ? Are they dead and going to hell? Well, what does Scripture say? The Sunday school teacher responded like this: I'm sure that God has a plan. God does have a plan. You want to know what the plan is? Jesus Christ alone. There is no other way unto heaven. There is no other path unto righteousness. There is no way unto peace with God apart from Jesus Christ. Because if any of us can do it without Jesus Christ, none of us need Him. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him would not perish. But don't forget what John 3:17 says, because it's a pinnacle point in this. For God did not send His Son into the world to destroy the world, but that the world might be saved through Him. My friends, Jesus didn't come to destroy the world. He was already under the plan of destruction. He was already walking in the darkness of death. Jesus came to save. That means everyone in this world was already condemned to die and die eternally. Jesus didn't come to destroy the world. He came that the world might be saved through Him. So that means that everybody from one end to the other, north to south, east to west, all are under the condemnation of sin. And all will pay the price of eternal damnation because of sin. Brother Joel, I just don't like the way that sounds. Well, who's responsible for that to begin with? Let me ask you that. Who's responsible for all these people that never heard of Jesus Christ? Whose fault is it they never heard of Jesus Christ? Don't say it's ours, because the gospel didn't start until Jesus left. Okay? The gospel is being spread around the world, and people are trying to get the gospel around the world. My question is, you think back further than that. Who is responsible for all these people never hearing of God? Adam and Eve knew who God was, right? How many of us can say we agree on that? We all agree Adam and Eve knew God. Them hard-headed folks, they got themselves kicked out of heaven. I know I'm part of that family. How about you? People began to go their own ways. Cain and Abel, for crying out loud. Cain didn't like what God had to say, so he killed his brother and said, hey, if I'm not doing it the way you like, I'll just make my way the only way you can accept. God didn't take that either. People began to grow, and they began to sit around their dinner tables at night, and they began to talk about, man, what a beautiful day. I had a good day today. Sure do like this squash and potatoes. You know, they not once talked about how God provided it. They not once thanked God for providing it. They forgot completely about God. And they sat around their dinner tables as families, generation after generation after generation, walking away from God until the days of Noah had come upon this earth. And God said, I've had enough. And He destroyed the world and began again with the family of Noah. Now, Noah's family knew who God was, don't you think? So why did they forget to thank God sitting at the table in the evenings? Why did they forget to talk about God and His goodness sitting around the table in the evening? And why did their families, generation after generation after generation, walking through life and filling the earth with life, forget that God was there? Who is responsible for people in all of this world for not knowing that there is a God? A single God. Is it God Himself, or is it we ourselves? And see, this is where it breaks down, because none of us want to take responsibility. But I'm telling you, you can look back to your greatest, grandest grandparents, from Adam and Eve down to Noah to whoever followed after that. And the responsibility on people not knowing Jesus Christ lies in the lap of the leadership in the family. It's the same reason people don't know Christ today. There's no other reason. So when people in some other foreign land never hear about Jesus Christ and they die, who's responsible for that? Is God to blame? Is God unfair? Is God unloving? He gave His Son to save us all. And He said to go and tell everyone that you can tell. Be my witness. I will give you the power to be my witness. I will guide you in truth. I will guide you where you need to go. I will guide you in the mission field. I will be with you. I'm rather busy tonight, Lord. I don't think I can get to it today. I'll talk to you tomorrow. And we might, we'll say something like this: God, man, I'm having a rough day today. Can you help? Thank you. You see, what I'm telling you is the witness of the church does not need to die, but it needs to be alive and it needs to be well and it needs to walk in the strength that God has given us through the Holy Spirit. And the truth that He has given us through the Holy Spirit. Quit looking for reasons to blame God and find reasons why we are responsible and not God. Because when the rubber meets the road, every one of us is responsible. What more does God need to do? What more can He do? What will you say when you stand before Him and He says, why wasn't my son good enough? What will you say when He says, depart from me because I never knew you? You know, the apostles are standing there and they watched Jesus go up into heaven and He was gone out of sight and they were standing around and, man. Peter, what are we going to do? Oh no, man. And then two angels showed up and told them exactly what they needed to do. Go back to Jerusalem and wait. He told you the Holy Spirit's coming, and you will be empowered. And you will be empowered, and you will have the power that comes through this promise of the Holy Spirit to work and to share and to be His people in a way that this world has never seen. You're going to face troubling times. You're going to face trials and tribulations. People are going to ask you, why are you doing this crazy stuff? People are going to say, you can't do that. God said, go and do it. So which one are you going to weigh the heaviest? Which one are you going to give merit to? Which one are you going to follow? The call to the work of God or the call to the work of men? We have this promise that we will be renewed, that we will be united as one, that in our united self and in all that we are, all the diversities and all the capabilities, we will still have just one purpose, and that is to share the good news of Jesus Christ. And that when we have a moment we're not sure what the truth is, He will guide us in that truth. We don't have to go with an encyclopedia in our pocket. When we got the Holy Spirit in our heart, when He tells you what to say, you say it. When He tells you to be still and be quiet, you be still and be quiet. And let Him lead. But here's the one thing I want you to remember about the Holy Spirit as we wrap this up. When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, we are sealed in Him for the day of redemption. Sealed for the day of redemption. Paul says in Ephesians chapter 1, in Him you also trusted, and having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession. We are sealed for the day of redemption through the Holy Spirit until the redemption of the purchased possession. You know, it's been a long time ago when I got engaged to my wife. I remember I went through a lot trying to buy her an engagement ring. E2 in the Navy, didn't make a lot of money. Wasn't a very big ring, y'all. But it was expensive according to my budget. And I wasn't sure I had the right ring. I wasn't sure if it was going to be good enough. I went to a couple of different jewelry stores and I found one. I thought, okay, this is the ring. And when I gave her that ring and she said yes, I said thank you and I left. There's some truth to that, y'all, but I'll tell you about that later. Actually, I'll tell you now. She went inside to show her family, and her sister said, what? I said, whoop, I'm out of here. But she was happy with the ring. It's the first thing she wanted to do was show her family. Something I had purchased for her. Something small, but not insignificant. And we are the purchased thing, the item, the person, purchased by God through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He stands before the Father and He says, this one is mine. Don't we have some kind of joy over knowing that He has loved us so much that He purchased us? That we want to go and tell our families. We want to go and show our friends. We want to see people smiling that we don't even know off to the side. You just can't help it. You see the joy and you smile. It's like listening to other people in a conversation. They start laughing. You're not even part of it. You start laughing because it's funny. Whatever it is they're laughing at, it's just, you can't escape it. You just start laughing with them. You ever done that? I've done that. Maybe it's just me. I don't know. But it can be that way with sharing Jesus too. Seeing the joy of someone else coming to life when they know who Jesus Christ is and that He loves them. That He loves them. You get to tell them. You get to share it. Some of them are going to look at that and say, well, this isn't big enough. This ring just ain't going to work for me. They're going to say, don't come back unless you got something better than this. That's okay. You go to the next one and you share the beauty of Christ with them. And let God do His work. Let God do His renewing. You just celebrate in the truth that you are His. And you are saved for the day of redemption. And you get to hand out invitations to everyone who wants one. Come. He's calling. Come. He wants you to be there. Come. He wants you to enjoy life in Him. Come. Because the door is open. But soon will be closed.
This is what we do as a church. This is what we do as individuals. Walk in faith and the power of the promise of the Holy Spirit to guide and to strengthen and to lead however God wills it to be. Trust Him and obey Him. But find peace through repentance of sin today. If you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, that's how it begins. You can believe all you want, but until you can actually say, Lord, forgive me, there is no forgiveness. Once you have it, don't be afraid to share it. Take it. Let that light shine. Let the world see how much you love God, because He loves you so much as well. Do you know Jesus as Lord and Savior? I invite you to come today and to have that peace and that hope and that life in Jesus while we have time to find it. While the altar is open, will you come? Father, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the joy of salvation. Lord, I thank you for the moments when you strengthen us through trial and tribulation. I thank you, Lord, even the strengthening that comes when we have to be corrected. Father, I thank you because I know it means you're with us and you're loving us and you're caring for us and you are growing us. And Father, I pray for anyone who might not know you as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day that they could stand not worried about what the world thinks, but concerned over their relationship with you, over peace that they are missing and want to have with you, for the hope and the joy of the sealing of the Holy Spirit for the day of redemption and the testimony that that gives. Lord, I pray to your glory, they will come. Lord, we ask it only in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Will you come while the altar is open?